Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we've been in this series called Exponentially More, and in 2023, we are believing God for more in every area of your life, every single area. And this is the final message of this series, and we've talked about taking personal responsibility. Pastor Jason gave it to you guys. He was like, listen, you say you want exponentially more in your life. Now live like you want exponentially more in your life. And then Pastor Paula came right on the heels of that, and she was like, yeah, you say you want exponentially more, but your life is chaotic. Yeah, hello. If you guys need to re-listen to those messages, myhopecity.church. They're up there. Give them a listen to. Maybe you just need to have a day where it's just on repeat in your earbuds. But we're going to finish up today talking about rhythms. And this message in this series is the how, right? We're getting down into, and all of our messages have kind of dabbled into the how, right? It's time to take personal responsibility. It's time to eliminate chaos. And today we're going to be talking about practical ways that you can experience exponentially more in your life. So I have a question to start us off with. Okay. My question is, in just a minute, don't put them up yet, but I have four words, and I want you to think about the word that describes your life best. And we're going to be using this term margin, and the definition of the term margin is a border or an edge of something. In this context that we're using it in, margin is the space or the border between your load and your limit. And so one writer referred to it as the space between breathing freely and suffocating. So you can see on this picture here, you've got your load here, and up at the top there, that's your limit. So when we talk about margin, we're talking about the space in between your load and your limit. So which of these four words currently describes your life? Is it chaotic, which would be negative margin? Full, no margin? Steady, some margin? Or is it empty, excess margin? So thinking about that picture that we just showed with the margin, which of those, is it chaotic, is it full, is it steady, or is it empty? Psychology Today says that many people will fill their calendars and continuously add to their to-do lists. Hitting goals and accomplishing tasks can be quite adaptive. It can fill us with a sense of accomplishment, which further fuels us to keep on taking more tasks. Brené Brown, she's a professor of social work at the University of Houston. She said this. She said, we also jam-pack our schedules to numb our emotions. Essentially, we avoid dealing with the difficult things in order to live in our lives by throwing ourselves headfirst into work. Ultimately, busyness and overwork catch up to us. People who push themselves for too long become exhausted, depleted, and fatigued. They often report symptoms of depression, anxiety, and burnout. This is what culture says we need to be. Culture says you need to be overworked, overbusy, because that's where your worth comes from. That worth is found in your calendar. Worth is found in the type of exhaustion you have. And I know, I can hear it. You guys are like, boo, we don't, yeah, no. You all do it. Get out of here. I hear it all the time. When you guys, I'm like, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy, Pastor Cherie. See this badge here? It says busy. And I get to wear it all the time because I'm busy. That's me. You know, I'm busy because I'm important. And some of us are like, man, it's not about the importance to me. I know how I feel if I have a little bit of margin, then I have to start thinking. Then I have to start sitting with what's true about my life. If I slow down enough, I'm going to have to actually think about all of the pain and all of the hurt and all of the emotion that I've just been very successfully pushing down for years and years and years and years. And so I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to fill up that calendar, because as long as I keep going and as long as I keep my head spinning, then I don't have to think about that anymore. God's word calls us to live counterculture. Culture says this is the way to numb it. This is the way to be okay. You have so much worth. The more people need you, that's who you are. God says, I'm calling you to do something different. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Doesn't say the kind that society will find acceptable. This is truly the way we worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It says, don't copy the behaviors of this world. God has called us to live counterculture lives. He said, the world is going to do one thing, but I've called you to do something different. The world is going to say this, but I've given you my word as 100% truth so that you know the plans I have for you. The world is going to say these aren't my plans for you. Don't copy that behavior. But instead, let me transform you into a new person. I'll teach you. God says, I'll teach you. Cherie, I don't know how to move out of chaos. I saw those words that you put up, and I'm definitely living in negative margin. I have more on my calendar than I have time to do it. That's what negative margin means. I have more on my calendar than I have time to do it and do it well. I'm living in that. I'm living in that chaos, but I don't know how. I don't know how to create margin in my life. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about creating margin in our lives today. The first thing, if you're going to create margin in your life, if you're going to live the way that God has called us to live, we have to start with what we have. We have to steward what we have. And stewarding what we have means taking a look at what's in our life and deciding which of these things have priority. Priority is a word that God's been just saying to me over and over and over again, probably for the last year. I think probably a year ago, I tapped Pastor Jason and Pastor Paul on the shoulder, and I was like, hey, priorities. Priorities is a word that God keeps saying, and I think that it's something that he might want to be doing in the hearts of Hope City. I think it might be time for us to start evaluating and looking at our priorities in order to be able to live a life that is exponentially more. In order to steward what you have, you're going to have to develop some non-negotiables. Priorities means you have things in your life that are not negotiable. This has to happen. I threw up just some examples up here. I'm not saying these are your non-negotiables. I'm saying this is what a non-negotiable looks like. Maybe your non-negotiable is like, I am going to spend time with Jesus. That's a non-negotiable in my life. No, I will be eating dinner with my family every night. Maybe that's a non-negotiable in your life. I will leave my work at work. Oh, dang, she going there, is she? every week. I will take a 24-hour period of time for it to just be me and Jesus every week. Non-negotiable. I will invest in my relationship with Jesus by attending church and attending life groups. Some of you need to get that into a priority. You're like, oh, if nothing else is going on Sunday, I'll see you. I'm going to go there because God has put in my heart, he's put in my heart a conviction for you. And I'm no longer okay with saying, oh, it's okay. If you got better things to do, that's okay. If we're not going to see you, that's okay. No, this is important. And if you want to experience exponentially more in your relationship with Jesus, you have to have some non-negotiables that center around him. I will invest in my relationships with others. Because while this is a really important relationship, this is also a really important relationship. You need these people. You can't do it alone. And if you try, you're going to fail. And when you fail and you look around and there's nobody around you, it's really hard to get back up. What are the things in your life that you're saying, no, I will do this? And for some of us, we haven't even ever thought about that. And so it's impossible. If you don't have non-negotiables, then how are you ever going to develop this stewarding what you have? Right? We have to think about it first. We first have to sit down and say, okay, God, what is it in my life that is a non-negotiable? This is what you want me to say. No exceptions. This is happening in my life. The other part of stewarding what we have is that we need to seek wise counsel. You need to have people in your life that are speaking into it. You need to have people, you need to invite people into your life who are going to hold you accountable, who are going to have these conversations about non-negotiables with you, who are going to give you wise advice. Yeah. Guys, we're not blazing a brand new trail here. Right. I want to. There's some areas that I want to blaze a new trail. But we're standing on the patterns of those who have gone before us. We are standing on some good history. We're standing beneath people who have done this. And you need those people in your life. You need to be hearing what the people around you who are wiser and more mature are further along in their walk with Jesus. You need them. There's nothing more detrimental than getting into the mindset of like, oh no, like, I can't listen to anything of the past because look where they ended up. Right? We have to move forward. We got to do things completely different. We're standing on some good history. You need the wisdom and the wise counsel of those who have gone before you. And it doesn't have to be an in-person mentorship. That's a very good thing to have. But also, sometimes our mentors aren't physically present. Be a reader. Be a learner. Be someone who's willing to have as a mentor somebody who you've never seen in your life. I will tell you that there are pastors that are speaking into my life right now and mentoring me and have never heard my name. Because I'm taking the time to go and learn and read and discover. And then there are also people in my life who very much know my name and very much have my phone number and very much are meeting with me and pushing me forward in order to see exponentially more in my life. One more thing on the idea of, stewarding what you have. That's the point. when you have to scroll up in your notes just to see what your point is. Jeez. Stewarding what you have. The last thing. We need to be making sure that we have tension, not balance, in our life. And I think that a lot of times what we do is we're like, man, I'm just trying to find the balance. Well, I want you to think about a balance beam for a second. What is it when there's balance, what does it mean about both sides? It's equal, right? I'm sorry, but your relationship with Jesus is not equal to your relationship with work. Your relationship with football is not equal to your relationship with your wife. You discipling your children is not equal to where you're going to go to lunch after church service. You need to learn tensions. That means I know, this goes back to the non-negotiables. I know what's most important, and I've decided what's a non-negotiable in my life, and I'm going to hold that with a different tension than what I'm going to hold my PTO meeting. Right? I hold that at a different tension than I hold dinner with my best friend. Because I've decided what the non-negotiables are in my life, and it's not a balance. I don't have to give as much to this as I do to this thing that God has called to be a non-negotiable in my life. The second thing that we need to do if we're going to really dive into rhythms, if we're going to get down. So I think it's really easy, and this is something that I said. I have a life group called Rhythms, if you didn't know that. And in my life group called Rhythms, one of the things that I was just talking to them about is I think that sometimes we view rhythms in our life like a New Year's resolution. About how many weeks does a New Year's resolution get? Six, if we're lucky, six. This is not something that's going to get 6 weeks. A rhythm is something that you're intentionally pouring into right now that's going to pave the way for the rest of your life. A rhythm is something that, this isn't something that we're just going to fall away from when it gets hard. If we're going to develop these rhythms, if we're going to put in the work, we have to have the humility to say no. You're like, humility? What does humility have to say with, have to do with no? Well, you saying no is coming into agreement with the truth that you're not all powerful, you're not all knowing, and you're not all able. God is, you're not. Saying no is admitting that you don't have unlimited capacity. Saying no is a form of resistance against the standards and the pressures that today's society and culture have put on you. Saying no takes humility because it's admitting that you can't do it all. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, says this. This is a chunk of scripture, so you just follow along with me, okay? Let's do it. Let's go. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. That's why they're fighting. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everybody say self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's not be conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. I'm not here to say that all the things you need to say no to are evil. They're not. But do you know what is evil? The enemy's attempt to get you so busy that you become overtired, overworked, too exhausted to fight him anymore. Wow. That's what's evil. And that's what we're fighting against right now. We're not fighting against. You're like, but Pastor Cherie, all the sports and stuff, that's good. It's good things. They're keeping them active. It's keeping them engaged with their peers. It's, yes, what's the non-negotiable? And if those two things are crossing, if the things that we're giving attention to are causing overtired, overbusy, exhausted, and it's, ooh, can you go to that, to the limit one, the very next one? Yeah. And it's pushing up on that limit. The load is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's pushing into that limit. That's when it becomes evil. Because that's the enemy's attempt at your life to get you distracted enough that he can take over. That's what we're fighting against. There's a book that I'm almost done with right now. It's called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. You can write that down if you want to, because you all need to read it. I'm reading it. Don't worry. I'm reading it. You should read it too. It's called Boundaries. The last thing, as I'm wrapping up here, if we're going to put in place some rhythms that are going to change the way our relationship with Jesus goes, we're going to have to develop those rhythms. They don't just appear overnight. We got to develop them. We got to put time into it. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 says this: "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Structure, tension, and intentionality in our lives is wisdom. It points toward a heart of wisdom. And if we're not, it says, teach us to number our days. If we're not putting that structure into place, when the calendar came into being, there wasn't always a calendar. But when the calendar came into existence, it was to provide a structure to this life that was being lived. The same thing needs to happen in our own lives. We need to provide that structure to our days in order to present to God a heart of wisdom. So the question then becomes, what am I doing right now to become ready for the opportunities that Jesus is preparing for me? What am I doing in my life right now to have me be ready for 5 years from now? You're like, Cherie, I can barely think about tomorrow. You need some structure. I love you, and you need some structure in your life. What are you doing now? I want to talk about, I told you it was going to be practical, right? Do you have a piece of paper? Are you writing this down? Because I'm going to give you some ideas of what practical looks like. And I'm going to do it as quickly as we can, because those kids are getting hyped up back there. I can tell. I can feel it inside of me. The children's pastor inside of me is going, Come on, Pastor. Finish it up. You need to have a rhythm that looks up. And here's what I mean by up. To God. You and God need to have some rhythms. Some examples of an up rhythm is daily solitude or aloneness with God. Maybe it's a devotional or a Bible plan. Maybe it's prayer or worship music. Maybe it's a drive on your work day. Maybe it's your commute and you're listening to a podcast or worship music. Maybe there's no sound at all in your car and some of your anxiety just went up. Maybe there's no sound at all, but you're just talking to God. Maybe it's a 1 to 2 hour block every week that you can pray and study scripture and journal. Maybe it's a Sabbath once a week for 24 hours where you say, Jesus, I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to spend more time with my family, and we're going to delight in your creation. Maybe it's an annual or a quarterly retreat to get away and spend time with God. You need to develop a rhythm here that's just you and God. You need to develop a rhythm in yourself. Maybe it looks like journaling a few times a week. Maybe it looks like counseling. Maybe it looks like exercise. Maybe it looks like an annual vacation where you can unplug. You need to have a rhythm within yourself that promotes health. You need to have a rhythm with. The people around you right now are really important. Maybe your with looks like a weekly life group. Or maybe it's a weekly dinner with friends. Maybe it's connecting individually with a mentor or close friends. Maybe it's going out to coffee. Maybe you're reading a book with your small group or a group of friends that's going to grow you in the way of Jesus. You need to have rhythms that connect you with other people who love Jesus. And they need to be rhythms. Not just, when I have time. Oh, look, there's a free night in my schedule for the next 6 months. Maybe I'll connect with that friend. A rhythm is regular. And then finally, you need to have a rhythm of out. What are you doing to make sure that the people in your life are going to heaven, are experiencing Jesus right here, right now, starting today?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.